1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order unto the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you, when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he also worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have a convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us, and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas, and Fortunatus, and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you, much in the Lord, with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, you can tell from the reading that the Apostle Paul is bringing his letter to a close. He has a few things to handle before he does bring that letter to a close. The first has to do with the collection for the saints. There are several things that are taught in this passage. The first is generosity. That there are those who may be quite removed from us geographically who are yet in need, and it behooves us, as we have ability and opportunity, to be of service to them as we are able. And so here we have this scenario of the poor saints at Jerusalem. Of course, Jerusalem was under great persecution, or the church in Jerusalem was under great persecution, perhaps, although it is not stated in the text here, but perhaps many in that persecution had lost their livelihoods. Perhaps many had simply stopped doing business with those who professed the way of Christ. And so there were many that were in some kind of straits. And the churches in Galatia and here in Corinth. Now, you know where Galatia was. Galatia, the churches of Galatia. Galatia is a region. And there are two theories. I don't want to get too detailed here, but there are two theories as to what Galatia was, the province of Galatia. I think the best view is it includes all of those churches in what I call the southern Galatian, or what some scholars call the Southern Galatian Hypothesis. That's all those churches that the Apostle Paul visited in the south of Asia Minor. Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, even Ephesus, although Ephesus is really farther west than that. But the churches of Galatia, that's what is being spoken of there. And then he also speaks about that Macedonian area that Paul is about to travel through Macedonia, and in such he plans to visit the Corinthians. And so all of those churches are giving way over here for one church way over here in the east in Jerusalem. So, you know, Asia Minor, right? Over here in Macedonia and Greece, they're all giving for the church over here in Jerusalem. Okay? Although they have been removed by many miles. They are removed by many miles. Notice that the collection is to be made on the first day of the week. Every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. No special offerings, basically. The offerings are to be taken up on the first day of the week. Notice that we believe that giving is an act of private or secret worship. And so we don't pass a plate here. Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount that giving is to be done in secret. Now, there can be a particular kind of giving that is done publicly where all the funds are made known. Everybody knows if a church would give an offering to someone, maybe a number of folks might give secretly to that offering, and then the entire church might be made known, hey, we're able to send X amount of money to this particular person or cause or whatever. But it is an act of secret worship. So the box is in the back. That's it. We don't pass a plate. We don't sound a trumpet. We don't put a basket in front of you, you know, on a pole. We don't do that. No, it's secret. Something between you and the Lord. Notice that it is as the Lord hath prospered him. And of course, what Paul is doing there is he is recalling to the mind of the Corinthians that proportional giving that the Scriptures have always known since the days of the patriarchs, not the days of Moses, the days of the patriarchs, right? It was first Abraham and Jacob that gave a tenth. And so he is reminding them of that proportional giving. And in the tenth, we simply confess that it all belongs to the Lord. All right, so then notice that he relies on their hospitality. He relies on their hospitality. I'm going to come and notice if the Lord permit, right? You see that he speaks very definitely at first. But the Apostle Paul is a humble man, and he's mindful of this one fact, and you can burn this in your memory banks if you haven't already, that man proposes, but God disposes. And so he says, I will come to you when I'm traveling through, and because it is my plan to go to Macedonia. And he says, if the Lord permit. But he says, when I'm with you, I expect to be cared for by you. Some may think that sounds a little bit forward. It's really not forward. It is indeed a fact that he relied upon the hospitality of the Corinthians and of the other churches when he was in town. Now, there were other times when he labored, working with his own hands. He did not take wages of the Corinthians. He'll tell us that in 2 Corinthians. But he did rely on them from time to time for certain acts of hospitality to be conducted on his journey. All right, so then he goes on to speak about Timothy. If Timothy come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Take care of Timothy. Take care of Timothy when he comes, and let no one despise him. Just because he's not the Apostle Paul, let no one despise him. In fact, We might even say, treat him better than you've treated the Apostle Paul, because we've seen that Paul's ministry has been assaulted in Corinth. And as we move into 2 Corinthians, we will see that flower come into bloom. So, once again, hospitality is enjoined, but also a particular respect and honor for the ministry. Timothy was, what was his office? Was he a pastor? No. Timothy was an evangelist. which was an extraordinary office. They were the hitmen of the apostles. They were those guys that the apostles left to do certain business when they themselves needed to go somewhere else. And they authorized them in an extraordinary fashion. This office of evangelist is an extraordinary office. And then notice that there is also space given, leave given to Apollos. Isn't that an interesting passage there where the apostle says, "As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren. But his will was not to come at all at this time, but he will come when he shall have a convenient time." You get the impression from that that the apostle Paul did not always get his way. You know, now remember what the apostle Paul was dealing with in Corinth. Some say, "I am of Paul." Some say, "I am of Cephas." Some say, "I am of Apollos." And others say, "I am of Christ." And so the apostle Paul no doubt thought it would be advantageous for he and Apollos to be in town at the same time so they could disabuse the Corinthians of that difficulty. That's the impression I get from saying when Paul says, "I greatly desired to have him there when I was there." But it was not his will at all to come at this time. So notice that there is a deference from the Apostle Paul to the will of Apollos. Elders being kind to elders, right? Paul didn't pull apostolic rank on Apollos and command him to be in town. Rather, he gave space for Apollos's own conception of his ministry in the Lord. All right, so then several of these things that Paul does sometimes when he closes books, we have these rapid-fire commands, these rapid-fire admonitions. Watch ye. Stand fast. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. Of course, each one of those is a sermon in itself, isn't it? To watch, right? To be aware, to be found laboring. That's what it means to watch. It means to be found laboring, not slothful in the work of the Lord. Stand fast. Of course, you know what that means. And the apostle gives us a lot of substance to hang on to with regard to standing fast in the panoply of God, right? In the whole armor of God and so on. Quit you like men. That means behave yourselves in such a way that befits adults. Adults. Don't be children. Don't be children. What does that mean, don't be children? Well, children in knowledge, children in behavior. I mean, when you take a look at the Corinthian church, you may think that it looked a lot like a road trip. You know, driving along, and what happens? You know, "He touched me." Right? Yeah. And so Paul says, "Quit you like men. Behave yourselves as Christian adults in the faith." And then be strong. Be strong. In other words, a strength that overcomes the difficulties of the Christian life. Strong in faith. Notice, stand fast in faith and be strong. Don't be subject to every wind of doctrine or every wind of weakness or assault. Be strong. Let your things be done with charity. Let all your things be done with charity. And then he uses this phrase, and I really like this phrase. I think that it's very instructive. He says, you know, he's talking about the household of Stephanas, the first fruits of Achaia. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. If you must have an addiction, there's one to have. Right? People say, "Oh, you know, you'll have to excuse me, I have an addictive personality." Okay, here you go. Here's a place for you to be addicted. Be addicted to the ministry of the saints. Be addicted. And that term means that they just cleared the boards so that they could be of service. They made themselves available. Not only did they make themselves available, they were quite forward to serving others. They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They were hunting areas of service. Right? That's good. If you have that addictive personality, there's a good addiction. All right, and then, let's see. What does this term mean? We're speaking in tongues today, right? If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. You know what that means? The word anathema is it's an Arabic word, actually. It's Aramaic word. And it means accursed. Let him be accursed. And maranatha, you know what maranatha means? That is also an Aramaic word, and it has to do with the coming of the Lord. So it says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. Let him be accursed at the Lord's coming. Of course, this shows us the great responsibility that is enjoined upon all men everywhere to repent and to love the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to love Him? It means that we obey Him. But it means more than just that, doesn't it? It means that our attentions, our affections, our efforts are spent toward that obedience. We're not talking about an empty obedience. We're not talking about a bare obedience. The Pharisees could claim that. So if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. And also, notice that the apostle there uses the Lord Jesus Christ. He uses all three titles. Lord, Master, God, Jesus, Savior, Christ, the anointed mediator of God. And so, we must love Christ in all of His offices. Not just in a little bit. Not just, well, I really like Jesus because He died for me. But all that commandment stuff. Yeah, that's not loving Him as Lord. I really like Jesus in that, you know, He's a good moral teacher. That's not what it means. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. We love Him in all of His offices. All right, let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.